I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today at the Grassington Festival for a second week. Drags on a bit, doesn't it? Barrett Green, the music used as the Archers theme, was written here in 1924 as part of a suite by the Yorkshire composer Arthur Wood. When the rarely heard complete work was performed in concert recently, everyone agreed how different the tune sounded without the click of an off switch halfway through the first bar. The most famous local name of all must be the explorer Captain James Cook, who was born at Marton. When Cook sailed into what we now know as Botany Bay, he was amazed to see a proliferation of beautiful palms, mango trees, giant lilies and birds of paradise with crystal clear waters overflowing with crab, lobster and rainbow fish, and was immediately inspired to name it HM Prism Australia. Cook was largely concerned with collecting samples of flora and fauna. As a result of his voyages, Britain is now overrun with unwelcome invasive species such as fast-growing Japanese knotweed, voracious muntjac deer, and overly cheerful Australian bar staff. And it's recorded that Cook went through a form of marriage ritual with a young native woman on one of the Pacific Islands, which involved her having his name tattooed. Cook's diaries indicate it was Honolulu, but witnesses said it was on her ankle. North Yorkshire comprises 40% of Britain's national parklands, and visitors arrive from all over the world for the pure pleasure of long walks in the Dales. But walkers aren't alone in coming here to take part in endless, pointless rambling. Let's meet the teams on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And please welcome the lady who always looks forward to handling the team's points. It's our scorer, the delightful Samantha. We start today by leafing through the pages of the Uxbridge English Dictionary. The English language has acquired many foreign terms which some incorrectly assume are interchangeable. For example, many people confuse the words arabesque and serpentine. Well, if, like me, you take the trouble to look them up, you'll find that arabesque is a form of surface decoration based on rhythmic linear patterns of scrolling and interlacing foliage and tendrils, and is a term used to describe European decorative art from the Renaissance onwards, whereas serpentine is what you clean paintbrushes in. Words are constantly changing their meanings, Tim, so I'd like you to share with us any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Tim, will you start?
Castanet. What Italian fishermen ado.
Graham.
Eliminate. Yorkshire exclamation on seeing a fizzy drink.
Barry.
Gringo. Mexican traffic lights.
And Jeremy.
Condom, Tory tax exile.
Isometric. I so absolutely don't deal in yards, feet, and inches.
Eastertide. What goes in and out on the Yorkshire coast?
Eastertide. Eastertide, yes. iPod. Optical treatment using peas.
WikiLeaks, what happens when you use a basket as a urinal?
Program, I so absolutely don't do pounds and ounces.
Unfettered, without Greek cheese.
Flabbergasted, astonished at your weight.
Navigator, a crocodile that knows where it's going.
Trifling to attempt Scottish dancing.
Norfolk, disappointing night out in Yorkshire.
Bedlam, a very special sheep.
Interfere, lover of horror movies.
Membership, amusingly shaped boat.
Well, the teams are going to give full vent to their acting skills now in the round called Sound Charades. This is played in tribute to the old TV favourite Give Us a Clue. In the original version, mimes were conducted in silence to an ecstatic audience. The team's version is exactly the same except for the bit about the silence and the ecstatic audience. The grand master of the game was, of course, Lionel Blair. He's currently trying to stage a pantomime starring himself in an open-air production of Dick Whittington. let me bloody read it. Initially, Lionel became depressed as he struggled to get the project going, but cheered up when he persuaded Andrew Lloyd Webber to produce his Dick in Regent's Park. Tim and Jeremy, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Jersey Boys. Jersey Boys.
OK, well, it's two words, and it's a, well, it's musical. It's a musical, yeah, theatre. Musical theatre. Yeah.
What's it called?
Nice sweater.
Thanks.
You like a pullover, don't you?
Yeah.
So do I.
You don't think we look silly, do you? Cattle-wearing jumpers.
No!
Even on a nice, warm Channel Island.
No, I think we look manly in a youthful sort of way.
Bullocks.
No, really.
Blimey, look at the udders on her. The end.
Jersey Boys. Yeah.
Okay. Your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for the listeners at home.
Bad Lieutenant. Bad Lieutenant.
It's a film.
Two words.
Two words. Goes like this.
Dougal.
Hamish. You'll have had your tea.
No, but I'm dying to find out how you're getting on with your new lodger.
Don't ask.
Too late, I just did.
Go. What was I thinking of? Renting out the lavatory. The man's a menace. He's a menace, I tell you this. He's playing loud trombone music at all hours.
That's the last thing you need in your lavatory.
You see that again. Had a party in there last night. And I told him no pets. I mean, well, I'm prepared to turn a blind eye to one buffalo, but oh, really, a mess. Oh. Well, look in there.
Oh, James, the place is a tip. And he's written all over the walls.
I dread to think what it's written in.
Looks like Chinese.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind, but he's only been in a week and already he's 6 months behind with the rent.
That doesn't seem possible. Oh.
This is definitely the last time I let out my lavvy. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
How many words is it?
Two.
Two words. One of them something to do with toilets.
Sort of,
yes.
Quibby, Carsey, Bog, toilet.
No.
Loo.
Hive. Waterloo.
Loo.
To whom have I let it?
A tenant. Lieutenant! Something bad left. Bad left. Bad lieutenant. I knew it was that.
In this next round, the teams will be boasting about the many impressive aspects of their fascinating lives. It's a game we call Completely Hypothetical. Although, remarkably, three out of four of our team members now have OBEs. Only Jeremy, the Trotskyite anarchist and honorary chair of the Workers' Revolutionary Party, seems to be missed off the Queen's birthday honours list yet again. Although his chauffeur did get a CBE. Okay, the teams will take the roles of guests at a party boasting about something, where each must try to outdo the preceding boaster. Barry, you're at a dinner party and you're just about to initiate a topic of conversation which allows you to boast about something. So off you go.
I have to say it, quite honestly, people admire me. Everywhere I go, they admire me.
Do they? Well, I came off stage the other day after a gig and Beyonce was in the dressing room. I said, how did you get back here? Security's very strict. She said, I'm really sorry, but I pleaded with them and I just wanted to say you've been the inspiration behind my whole career.
Yeah. I bumped into young Michael McIntyre the other day and he told me he thought I was the funniest thing since sliced bread. And I think he meant it.
I bumped into Pippa Middleton, who told me I had a cuter bottom than she had.
I did a gig the other night, and His Holiness the Pope came round afterwards, the dressing room. Lovely wife.
Yeah, he came up to me later on and said, can you show me how to put one of these on?
Barack Obama was talking to me the other day and he said he remembered listening to me under the bedclothes when he was a kid. And I remembered it too.
Yeah. I met Jack D the other day. I was very disappointed.
Yeah. Oh, I can take it.
Are we still
you
on?
Didn't then, did you?
Start the next one,
I've
too.
Just had some cosmetic surgery. I've had a nose job.
Really?
Wow. I've had my hair... My hair's black. I've had it dyed white in a pathetic attempt to look old.
Well, I did have a hair transplant, but it just looked a bit stupid with a liver on me head.
Yeah. I've had my lug holes completely removed. Apparently, it's taken years off me.
Oh! I tried a buttock lift, but I fell off when it got to the fourth floor.
I've had my fingernails pierced. Not on purpose, obviously.
I'm completely pierced.
So, Jeremy, you start the next one.
Okay, well, we're reconverting our house, and the first thing we're going to do is get rid of that annoying spare bedroom out of the loft and put a load of cardboard boxes up there.
Yes, we're moving our loft downstairs. Save all that climbing.
Yes. We've knocked through from the living room. There's no ceiling up there now.
We're converting our house back into the original French farmhouse, actually. We've taken the roof off completely, got rid of all the plaster, all the decor, all plumbing and wiring. We've got a load of animals in there. It's been great.
Oh, well, yes, we're reconverting ours even further back than that. We're turning it into a limestone quarry.
OK, the teams are going to bring this show a more contemporary flavour now with a look at the 1930s. What a different... what a different world it was then with no television. Families made their own entertainment by gathering around a piano or declaring war on Germany. I brought with me a selection of genuine advice for young husbands taken from a 1930s etiquette book, certain parts of which have been removed. Your job, teams, is to fill in the missing sections. Don't be afraid to apologise. Go to your wife and say to her, I'm sorry, yesterday evening I was...
Right and you were wrong.
I was wrong. Don't brood over the fact that your wife has...
A bigger moustache than you.
That's her fault. It is very lowering to her dignity to have to ask you for money every time she wants to...
But that won't stop her.
Every time she wants to buy a pair of gloves. Things will have got to a pretty bad pitch if a wife's eyes do not sparkle when her husband brings home some...
CS gas canisters.
Some unexpected trifle, is what it said. Do realise that a little persuasion will attain far better results than...
Waterboarding.
A lot of compulsion. A woman is like tar. Melt her and she will...
Get laid by a bunch of workmen.
Take any form in which you like to mould her.
Well.
This is on the subject of personal habits. Don't squeeze the tube of toothpaste from the top instead of from the bottom. This is one of the small things of life that...
Shouldn't be in your bottom.
My licence fee for this.
It actually should have said, always irritates a careful wife.
Well.
Don't confine your acts of courtesy to your wife's pretty friends. Be as ready to see Miss Prudence Dowdy, who is very much of a bore, back to her home as you...
Never know your luck.
As you would the charming Miss Dolly Dimple. On the subject of conversation, don't allow yourself to become careless in your conversation, and as far as possible, don't use the clichéd expressions of the moment, such as...
Move your ass before you get yourself pimp-slapped, bitch.
Jane Austen, there'll never be another.
In fact, the words were awfully nice or putrid. Do be careful not to criticise the imperfections of other people. Remember the saying, when my friends are blind of one eye, I...
Have fun moving the cornflakes around the breakfast table.
I look at them in profile. On the subject of dress and clothing, in matters of dress, don't wear a white waistcoat with a dinner jacket. This experiment has been tried and...
You get mounted by a king penguin.
This experiment has been tried and it soon died a natural death. On the subject of recreations, do refrain from smiling in a superior manner if your wife wishes to attend lectures or...
Fart.
Thank you, Barry. It's all right, you can laugh. You don't have to visit him every other day of the week.
You blew in the other day.
Don't commit the unpardonable sin of introducing your wife with the words...
I know, I know.
With the words, meet the wife. Don't, when going for a weekend, be so careless in your packing that you find it necessary to...
Go back for her.
In fact, it says, borrow from your host. Make for the nearest shop or do without. theatres, dinners and restaurants. Do bear in mind that most ladies like to get to their theatre seats at least 5 minutes before the curtain goes up in order that they can...
get settled before suddenly deciding to go to the loo.
In order that they can look around and see who is present and what they wear.
Oh.
Is ladies like to do that? Don't omit when taking your wife out to dinner at a restaurant to mark the occasion by suggesting a...
threesome with the waitress.
A bottle of wine. Remember that ladies usually prefer...
you to order what they want so you can share.
In case you're interested, any of you out there, ladies usually prefer a sweet wine to a dry, and that, as regards liquors, creme de menthe is always a favourite. On the subject of entertaining, do make a point of welcoming your wife's friends. You may not like Mrs. B, but while she's under your roof, it is the height of bad manners to...
ask her to install the loft insulation.
Don't forget that if your wife is entertaining lady guests, it is your duty to show them...
your elephant impression.
Show them to the front door on departure.
That would do it.
This next game is called Just a Minute, and it's a musical version of the long-running wireless favourite Just a Minute. So maybe you could play this for us, Colin. Just
thank you very much. The person.
And as the minute waltz fades away, please welcome the four invigorate. I said it fades away. Please welcome the four invigorating, stimulating, refreshing, energising, reviving, vitalising, enlivening, exhilarating, restorative and rejuvenating players of the game who are poised to play the game that these game players are going to play. Jeremy, you're to go first, and the song I'd like you to sing without hesitation, deviation or repetition is... is Save All Your Kisses For Me.
Kisses for me, save all your snogs for myself. Bye bye, baby, adieu.
And I've been challenged by Graham, who has come in
yes,
so right. quickly after you started, which was a joy to hear you. really getting a lot out of your singing now, aren't you, Jeremy? Graham, what was your challenge?
A repetition of bye.
Yes, so there was a repetition of bye. Graham, a veteran of the game that we love so much, has noticed that there was a repetition of the word bye in your song, Jeremy. And I've been talking now for nearly a minute about this challenge. So it's over to you, Graham.
Don't cry, honey.
Tim has
hesitation.
Come in. There was a hesitation there. You're quite right, Tim. There was a hesitation. So it's over to you for... there's only another 55 seconds to go. Oh, save all your kisses for me, Tim.
Don't cry, honey.
And Barry has...
deviation from the tune.
I don't think it was quite a deviation from the tune, but the audience enjoyed your challenge so much. As did I think it's still with you, Tim, with 56 seconds to go. I'll save all your kisses for me.
Don't cry, honey, don't have tears. Gonna walk out the door, but I'll soon be back for more. Pecks on my cheek.
Jeremy, I hesitation. Think you noticed there was indeed a hesitation there. You were beginning to go well, but you faltered on that and let yourself quite badly down and gave the impression of incontinence at that point of the song, which was sad, not what anyone here wants to see. So, Jeremy, as you take over, and remember that this programme is heard not just in the United Kingdom, but also in the deserts of Sudan, from Milan to Yucatan, and the wilds of Borneo, and the vineyards of Bordeaux, in the dock of Tiger Bay, on the road to Mandalay, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads, the North Pole, the South Pole, the East Pole, the West Pole, the Telegraph Pole, up the Great Pyramid of Giza, down the Grand Canyons, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and Keithley. It's over to you with only 54 minutes to go.
Tonsil hockey for me, save all your tongue jobs for me. So long, honey, ma'asalama.
And Jeremy was singing When the Whistle Went. It's very nearly the end of the show. There is just time to fit in a round of Weight Watchers Film Club. It seems there's a new diet every week nowadays. What I've noticed is where you eat nothing but two-day-old bread, margarine and the wet bit out of a tomato. It's known as the Ryanair sandwich diet. So, teams, I'd like you, please, to suggest the titles of films likely to be popular with the overweight or those on diets. You can start this one, Jeremy.
Charlie and the Rice Cake Factory.
Forrest Plump.
Reach for the Pie.
Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
La Dolce Rai Vita.
A Fridge Too Far.
The Lard of the Fries.
Oh, blubber, where art thou?
Burger on the Orient Express.
Gastric Band of Brothers.
Bring me the bread of Alfredo Garcia.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I see it's the end of the show, and in fact, this series. And if anyone's worrying about whether there'll ever be another series, you're quite right to. There will be. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Grassington, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrooke Taylor and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.